Check. Join Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network. 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time, just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised. To inspire free...
All right, here we are. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. It is the 10th of November. Hope you all had a good weekend. I had a ball. I got to tell you what we did here in just a minute. I want to remind you that our new website, not much to it yet. I'm still trying to find the time to get it more information on it, but it is at theshootingbench.us. And we've got our online store working on there pretty well. And a little bit of information, that's we've got some events going on in our life and in our home and in our business and everything that has warranted a number of changes to that thing already. So when we get everything leveled out here, we'll get it squared away. But a lot of stuff going on, and I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. I went to a survivalist rendezvous out in Young, Arizona. Matter of fact, the old timers used to call it Pleasant Valley. They still, a lot of them still do call it Pleasant Valley. But Young, Arizona is where I was at. And Young is in a... it's quite a ways away, kind of out there by itself, very, very rural and remote. And matter of fact, when you're coming in from the side that I came in, you got about 22 or 23 miles, 20-some miles of dirt road just to get to this place. And it sits in a very secluded little valley. It's an awesome little town. Had a lot of fun. And there was they didn't get the turnout that they had hoped for, but there was quite a few people there. It was the first time they've done it, so hopefully they'll have learned a few things and do a little better. They're planning on trying to make it at least an annual event, if not semi-annual. And what it was, they had a whole bunch of different instructors and vendors and stuff there giving little, anywhere from 1 to 3 and 4 hour workshops. And I tell you what, I met some fine people. I met some fine patriots out there. Liberty was thick enough to cut with a knife in this rendezvous out there. And they had little, I wish I threw that thing away, but they had little classes on everything Dutch oven cooking and medicinal and edible plants. And there was, here comes my loving wife, heard me say that. Thank you, babe. Let's see, long range precision rifle, emergency shelters, grid down pandemic medicine, amateur radio, wilderness survival, AR-15, blacksmithing, bread making, third world living, Dutch oven cooking. This went on for 3 days. Well, there was some of the instructors, there was a few of them didn't show up. I think it was a little bit overbooked as far as how many classes they had there, because it was difficult. Everybody wanted to make the different classes, and they just no way to do it. So. And the ones that didn't show up, I wound up teaching 5 classes yesterday. And I did one on combat handgun and, of course, colloidal silver and urban survival, go bags. And there's Edge of the Woods. Good to see you in here, buddy. And there was one other one. What the heck was the other one? I can't think of it right now, but... Anyway, it was nonstop information, a lot of stuff going, really neat, and it was still going on. It's still going on tonight. As a matter of fact, I had to come home, got other things to do, and tomorrow, Veterans Day, don't forget, they're having a flag raising and a dinner, and if I was able to stay, I could have gotten a free lunch tomorrow as a veteran. And but there's plenty. I met 3 guys, 3 different ones, different age groups and different periods of time that were with the 12th Special Forces Group in there. And one of them was one of the, well, actually 2 of them, the speakers, the instructors. And I got to be pretty good friends with both of them. I fully expect to see both of them again. One of them we're going to have on my radio show here before too terribly long. And he's going to talk about the gray man concept. And then we got a couple of topics. I'm going to, he's extremely knowledgeable. He's got more patriotism in one fingerprint than a whole lot of people that we know out there. He's a great guy, and I was very interested in hearing him speak and everything. So I got to go to just one of his classes, but it was a great deal. So with all that being said, we've got some issues going on. And right now, just right away quick, and I'll tell you why in just a minute, but I'm going to put this Facebook page up in the chat room there. And you guys get a chance, if you're a Facebooker, go and check that out. That is for Gavin, and I think it's Seim, S-E-I-M. Gavin is he's another one of those. I met him at Schatz Ranch, Bundy Ranch. And this guy is, you know, we say that people are not waking up and there's, you know, not enough patriots. And that's true. There's not enough. But I'll tell you one damn thing. If there's enough people out there like Gavin and a few other folks that I met up there, you know, we've got a half chance. And so, well, what makes me bring this up is we have a Gavin actually ran for let's see, what was it he ran for? Let me get my notes up here. He ran for, I think, representative up in that part of the country. I lost my cotton picking thing here. Oh well. Anyway, he I believe he was unsuccessful, but didn't slow him down any. He is still a very, what would you call it, prolific speaker on liberty, constitutional rights, and all that. And he's got some other, I'm not sure if one of his other compadres up there, I'm not sure if he wants me to mention him on the radio or not, so I'll let that go until I hear from him. But we've got the possibility, well, we got two big issues going on right now. And one of them, as you know, we talked about this last week, well, actually last week and the week before, about the Initiative 594 out in Washington. You remember that? In this Initiative 594, we have one of the worst gun control measures that has been passed in recent memory here, and that is that all transfers of a firearm have to be gone through a other, you know, background check and a dealer. If you want to give a single shot 22 that your dad gave you and you want to pass it on to your son or your brother, you have to go through a dealer to do it. Well, there's a group of people being led by Gavin and another guy there who had to run for sheriff up in that part of the country. And I'm not sure if he wants his name out here or not, so probably it doesn't matter, but I'll wait till I hear from him. And they are running a movement that says I-594, and that's not an interstate. It's Initiative 594, and I will not comply. They're getting people from Idaho, Nevada, Montana, Washington State in there, and they're putting this together very quickly. And I think it's going to catch get a lot of steam going here real quick. I think it's the right time, right place, and I think the right people are putting this thing on, trying to get a fire built under it. So I am real excited about what in the heck was that? Hang on a minute. Yeah, okay. He just texted me. He said it's okay. His name's Anthony Bosworth. I met Anthony and Gavin and, well, a hell of a bunch of people up in on Bundy Ranch. And these guys are, they are what I wish we all were. I wish that we had the backbone and the guts that these people have. And some of us do. I mean, I'm not saying that all of you are that way. It's just that, you know, there's not enough of us that way for sure. So and he says Gavin ran for Congress up there. So they've put together this movement. It's going to be a big rally. It's going to be on December 13th. And I'm going to tell you all what. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, I don't care if you're in Washington or Idaho, or if you're in that area anywhere within any reasonable distance, if you're within 200 or 300 miles, I expect to see you. I don't care what state you're in. If you've got the money, I don't care if you're in Florida. If you've got the means to travel up there, I would like to see you at this rally. It's going to be a history-making thing, I think. They've invited me up there to speak at this deal, and it's going to be unlikely that I'll be able to make it unless, and it's the first time I've ever done this, and I hate it with everything that's in me. I've asked, you know, for a lot of other people and for different reasons. But if any of you are doing okay and got a few extra bucks, go to my website, go to theshootingbench.us, go to products, and there's a deal you can click there in the online store that's for donations. And if you would like to help get me up there to speak at this thing, that would be awesome. We've got a couple of different angles going here, hoping we can make it up there. There's been quite a change in the way things are being done in my business life right now, which I'm not at liberty to tell you everything that's gone on, but next Monday night I will tell you what's happening and what has happened. And so stay tuned till next Monday night. But until then, I can say that everything has kind of been a little worse for the wear here. So I'm going to make every effort if I can to make it up there to speak at this deal. Now, this is just one event that we have going on. It's a big one. It's serious business. And I'm going to tell you, if it doesn't matter that it's happening in your state, it's happening in our country. And I don't care where you're from. If you're able to make it up there, we need the support. We need to make a showing. We need to have a tremendous show of force up there. And not necessarily force with everybody cocked and locked and ready to rock here, but just a show of warm bodies, lots of them. We need to let them know that we are paying attention to what's going on in other states, and not depend on Washington by itself to put enough boots on the ground at this event to make it look that way. We need people. There's a hell of a bunch of people up there within, you know, a couple of hundred miles there. I just drove, well, it wasn't a couple hundred miles, 100 miles to this, the survival rendezvous this weekend. A year ago, a little over a year ago, I drove from here to northern Idaho to go to a rally. You know, it's time to put up or shut up, guys. We've got to make a showing at some of these events. We need to be up there. We need to holler. We need to be waving flags and signs and in those certain areas where it is appropriate and legal, we should be armed to the teeth and letting them know just exactly how the cow ate the cabbage. And that's what we intend to do up in Washington. Okay, there's a whole nother deal going on now, and some of the same people involved. And hang on just a minute. I may have some. I just saw a post from Gavin in here. He may be listening. We have a whole nother project going on here, whole nother issue, and this is going to be a big one. Let me find it here. Here we go. All right, I read this first, and I wasn't sure just how legitimate it was and everything, and I'm going to tell you, well, maybe I shouldn't tell you. Let me give you a rundown here on what's going on the Hopi Reservation. And this is, there's if I read this right, let me check and make sure. But I'm pretty sure that this is the very small island of Hopi Reservation that is in the midst of the Navajo Reservation, just north of me a little ways. And the Navajos and the Hopis, from what I understand, are not the best of drinking buddies just all the time. And I think that they have a rather uneasy alliance there from day to day. But what we need to see, we need to see them get together. Let me read this thing to you, and this is what's going on up there. Credible sources have announced that immediate support for Hopi partition land residents is needed. Hopi residents' livestock are about to be impounded by Hopi rangers and federal agents representing the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Department of the Interior. This action is to gain access to the resources on ancestral homelands by forcing Hopi residents off the land by the removal of their livestock. It doesn't say it right here, but what they're doing is they're about to round up their sheep and confiscate them, rather like Bundy Ranch. A Hopi source said that our sovereignty is under threat, as well as our way of life and our income. Similar to the Bundy Ranch conflict outside of Bunkerville, Nevada, efforts are underway to verify additional information which has been given to me. A protocol is now activated to notify selected elected officials from across the state of Arizona, selected citizens who have their own constituencies, members of the Coalition of Western States, and others. And this is, let me go on up here and kind of get you caught up here with what I know about this. So in response to this, I got something from another individual. It says, we need more information on this. What else do we know? I sent him back, and I said, I'll get on it. Another one, this was Gavin, said, is this near Cope? Do we have any contact with anybody there? If we can get more solid intel to put something out publicly. Guy writes back and says, information is sketchy. We're working back channels to learn what we can. The fact the Navajo Nation carried this story makes it all the more big and concerning. Historical stress and lack of cooperation by and between Hopi and Navajo. A concern here is the alleged plans and assault on sovereign land. As you all know, Indian land is sovereign nation. Now, that is for the most part. I'm busy right now. Sheriff Mack is preparing constitutional sheriffs and peace officers to respond if and when needed. He had Sheriff Mack phone Stuart Rhodes and to convey that the Oath Keepers should also prepare a contingency plan. So what we're doing, without going through the rest of this little bit here, we are putting together a whole new deal. Tribal offices, of course, will be closed tomorrow in memory of, in recognition of Veterans Day. So Wednesday will be on this. So that's all the information we have right now. When we have things that I am able to share with you, I will share it as liberally as I can. But there is a lot of stuff going on. Northwest Heavy, son, I expect to see you there. I know you're up in that part of the country. Yes, I think this is where it's at, up in the Olympia area. So that will be December 13th. And I'm going to make every effort that I can. All I'm going to be able to do, I'm sure, if I'm able to go at all, it will be to dash up there and do my thing and make an appearance and visit with folks a little bit and turn around and dash right back. But that's okay. I'm used to doing that. I do it all the time. It's not a biggie. So let's... I hope you guys will... the ones that are able to make it up there, do it. If you're able to lend a little support financially to help get this thing going, do that too. Like I said, you can go to my website, theshootingbench.us, and go to the online store, and there's a box there that is donations, and you can put in there, you know, pretty much whatever you want to. I actually have another one here somewhere. Let me see if I can put this in the chat room for you. I've got another deal that I can share with you. And I don't, ordinarily I am way too proud to ask, but I think that this is some serious business, and we need to get as many vocal, many outspoken patriots as we can up there, and make a showing here. Here's another deal. Edge of the Woods said he might be able to make that. Would be awesome. There's another deal I just put in the chat room for you. Northwest Heavy's going to be there. Outstanding. Okay, Edge of the Woods, boy, if you can make it up there, that would be a wonderful thing. I don't know what your plans are, how you're trying to make it, or who all is going with you. If nothing else, maybe you and I can go up there together and go up there and make a show, and that would be a great deal. Be a lot of fun. So there you have it. That's what's going on in our world right now. And I'm going to play a little deal here and get a drink of water and wet my whistle, and I'll be back in a minute.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
We're back, and I was just reading this thing that Edge of the Woods put on there. I know those of you that are on the chat room, this may be a little redundant for you, but a lot of people in the podcast and are listening that are not on the chat room, I'm going to read this thing that he's posted. This is goes along with what we were talking about there for the what's going on in the Hopi Reservation. And this is a first-person report here of what went on. When was this? October 29th or 28th? Anyway, it says, on Saturday, we reported an escalation of conflicts, including arrests and sheep impoundments over disputed Navajo and Hopi land. Yesterday, Black Mesa Indigenous Support released an update on the conflict. On Tuesday of this week, while heavily armed Hopi rangers guarded and blocked nearby dirt road entrances, other rangers arrested two more Navajo sheep herders and impounded 120 head of sheep at the home site of Tom and Etta Begay and Red Willow Springs. One of those arrested was detained for hours. After her release, she described the arrest in a statement released by the Black Mesa Indigenous Support. She said, Hopi rangers came for our homestead early this morning. They tried to arrest my Aunt Etta, who is almost 70 years old, and my dad, Bahe. They had barricades set up at the top of the hill with two police units. When we tried to get around the barricade, they chased us for 2 miles, trying to hit us with their trucks, and they drew their guns at us. When we got to the house, they brought four more units and tried to block us in by the North Hogan. They grabbed us out of our vehicles. A male officer was grabbing me around the waist. I told him they were violating our rights and violating our elders. They were trying to arrest Etta, who didn't even know what they were saying. She doesn't speak English. She wasn't doing anything. They arrested my younger brother, Lance, and me because we were a threat to them for voicing our rights and defending our family. It took 3 officers to detain me and another 3 to detain my brother. We did not go down without a fight. We were let go after 6 hours of detainment. I told them they were threatening our family, who is all alone and elderly, and they come out with guns and threaten and scare them. Who would have defended our family if we didn't come? We didn't come with guns and knives. We are not violent. We just came to protect our family. Who knows what they would have done if we weren't there? We said, we are not scared. We are protecting our elders. If you're going to take us to jail for that, then do it. They took 120 sheep from our homestead. One of the first Diné sheep herders arrested, Carolyn Tonahi, said that her herd, who had her herd impounded last week, has a court date coming up where she will be facing trespassing charges for being at her homestead. Now, you guys need to understand that these people have been on this land for generations. And they've been, a lot of this was, what would you call it, grandfathered in. And it is surrounded by, well, it doesn't matter. It's on the reservation that they gave them. They homesteaded this, and they've been on it for years and years and years. I mean, there's been families, complete generations, live and die in some of these homes and farms and ranches that they have out there. And now with this big land grab that's going on, and Bundys are going to go through this again, they've just decided that they want to take it. They decided it's theirs, and they're just going to take it and run these people off their land. The arrests are alarming for elders like Tonahi, who fear that they mark an escalation in efforts to remove Dene Sharp sheep herders entirely. For those of you that are not from the Southwest, Dene is what the Navajo people call themselves. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it means the people in the Navajo language. I think that's what it means. He said, "I disapprove of the impoundments," said Black Mesa Elder Jack Woody. "They really affect the elderly. Ever since I was a baby, I was carried on a horse to herd sheep. I have herded it all my life, and I'm in my 80s. You have the livestock in your heart, and they want to take that away." Hopi Rangers claim the issue has to do with overgrazing. Horse crap. But Big Mountain resident Marie Gloud doesn't believe it. The way that the Rangers are treating the people goes against the Dene way. It is very taboo to point a gun at somebody. They are traumatizing an already traumatized community. If overgrazing was actually the issue, they could just educate the people, but it's not. This is uncalled for. Yesterday, Black Mesa Indigenous Support put out the following call for support. Lawyers needed. Residents are requesting legal assistance. Also call protest into your local Department of Interior or Bureau of Indian Affairs offices. In addition, money is needed to pay impoundment fees. They give a link for donations here. Or come to the land as human rights observer. Email blackmesais@gmail.com for more information. Lastly, call the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Hopi Rangers, and the Department of the Interior. Ask that they stop impounding sheep on the HPL, the Hopi partition land. Call the BIA superintendent, Wendell Honani, and demand an end to the arrest. He can be reached at 928-738-2228. Call Hopi Chairman G. Honani to complain about the Herman G. Honani to complain about about the campaign of impoundments. He can be reached. Phone number is 928-734-3102. And then call Clayton. Now, this is going to be a tough one for me. Clayton Honyomtehwa of the Hopi Rangers, and complain about the heavily armed response to peaceful sheep herders. 928-734-3601. So there you go. This is this has the potential to turn. Now, there's a lot of issues here, not the least of which is the fact that these two tribes don't normally get along. It's going to be interesting to see if they'll pull together to fight a common enemy here. And it'll also be interesting to see how many patriots will support these Indians in their fight to do this very same thing that the Bundys had to do. And I can tell you one patriot that will, and I could mess in his britches right now. So you take that for what it's worth. This is Edge of the Woods. I agree. It is it's exactly and it could be even more wrong than the Bundy Ranch, but for the most part, I think it's exactly the same thing. They're going about it in the same manner. They're doing the exact same thing. The only difference is that it's not one family; it's an entire group of people. And the forgot what I was going to say. I get so pissed I can't think sometimes. But the outcome of this, maybe I shouldn't say the outcome. I mean, I should say the what the hell am I trying to say? I hate it when I get so damn mad. I can't put my words together and think about what I'm supposed to be doing here. But these people are, the Hopis have been probably one of the most peaceful tribes, certainly the most peaceful in the Southwest, forever. They never really had, to the best of my knowledge, they never really had the bands of warriors and the raiding parties and stuff that so many other tribes did. The Navajos were a step up from that. They were a little more violent, but not nearly as bad as some of the the Comanches and the Apaches and the Sioux and some of these other ones. All of them would have just as soon be left alone. It's not that any of them were particularly born violent any more than anybody else. But they, you know, when they were messed with, they've been a lot of them pushed as far as they can go, and then they become violent. And we'll see that same type of thing happen to American citizens. Before, as peaceful as you want to be, some of us are going to be pushed to a point where you just ain't going to take it no more. And that may not be too terribly far away. Now, I you guys think what you want, but these people are, yes, they're in a sovereign nation. On the one hand, you could say, well, it's none of our business, but it is our business. It's a land grab. I think that ultimately it probably has something to do with Agenda 21. And they are assuming control of things that do not belong to them. Yes, the federal government gave them the reservations that they live on. That doesn't mean that they just wake up one day and say, okay, you can no longer run sheep on, you can no longer make a living, you can live here as long as you're in town, but we're taking all this other stuff away. You can't live out here anymore. If you guys, I wish I had the chart real handy of the land that they're taking in up around Bundy Ranch, and the part of the ranch itself and the surrounding area, they're taking something like, if I'm not mistaken, 2.7 million acres in that area. And this had gone up after the Bundy Ranch conflict, after the standoff happened. This went up like I would say probably 400 or 500%, the best I remember the chart in my mind's eye here. I could probably go look it up for you here in a little bit, but anyway, that's the kind of things that's going on, and I hope to hell that each of you take this just as seriously, what's going on the reservation out there, as we did on Bundy Ranch. It's the same thing. It's the same people. And they should, as far as I'm concerned, get the same treatment. And this may be something to draw patriots out. You know, I thought about that too. But, they're not going to be backed off as easy as they were before. If you think these people didn't learn something from the last time, you're crazier than hell. I don't anticipate. Now, maybe if we have even more people, plus the Indians that are out there. Now, another question here, is there a possibility that the Indians will not particularly welcome our help? I hope that's not the case, because they need our help. They're going to need our help a lot, and I hope that they will accept our hand of assistance and friendship, and I know they're proud people, and I hope they're not so proud that they won't allow help if it is offered to them. So it's not going to be long. Well, I think we're going to see something come out of this here in the very, very near future. And probably be some things going on there even prior to the deal going on in Washington on December 13th. Some of the same people are involved in both efforts, and I hope that all of you will be involved. For those of you that can't make it to the rally and can't make it out here to the scene of the crime, so to speak, then see if you can help us out with some funds and help with this fight. Anything that we don't need to travel and get by will be put in into the effort to fight these two fights, two totally different things. The gun law thing going on in Washington, I hope that we have patriots from, six states around there that will all show up in Olympia, and I would like to see these people just absolutely trickle down both legs when they look out the window and say, "Good God Almighty, where did all these rednecks come from?" And I hope that I am able to be one of those rednecks. I want to be up there and be a part of this. I told you earlier the things that I spoke on this weekend. I remember what the other one was, and I can't believe I didn't remember it. And that was militia. They asked me to speak on the citizen soldier, and I spent quite a bit of time on that. Boy, did I see some eyebrows raised to that one. These people were all ears when I told them cited the statutes and case law and quotes from the founding fathers and all that, and they're saying, hey, I want to do that. I want to be a part of this. I thought it was illegal. No, you didn't get out and do your research. You let me do all the research for you. Okay, now I've told you what needs to go on, so come on down. Join us. Plenty of room for everybody. So what's Hopper's going to Hopper, I don't know what they're trying to do, son. I just don't get it. I don't see why they didn't see that we were serious, and that we were unhappy, and that we were prepared to go the final step at Bundy Ranch. Why are they doing this again? Do they think that we won't go help all those Indians? I will. And it's in a place where it's so is Bundy Ranch. I mean, it was interstate right up to their front door, just about. And but this is a little bit easier to get to for some people, a little bit closer to some of the larger population centers. So I would think that if this Hopper, it is. If you look on a map, I've wondered about this many times. I've thought about it. If you look on a map in northeastern Arizona above I-40, you'll see that about nearly a quarter of the damn state right there is Navajo Reservation. Right in the midst, right smack in the middle, well, it's not exactly in the middle, but it's pretty close, of this huge Navajo Reservation is a small island that is the Hopi Reservation. Now, one of the Hopi Indians told me the story about how that happened one time, and I don't remember the whole thing. I'd like to know how the Hopis wound up completely surrounded by Navajos and not able to, you know, they can't travel. Yeah, Hopper is not too far from 191, exactly. And they can't travel. They can't get out of there except by air. They cannot get out of that reservation without going across Navajo land. And I don't know how in the world they managed to do that. But be that as it may, it's none of my business. I don't care. It's been that way for a long, long time. What I care about is that the federal government that gave them that land and has helped them out and tried to give them the things that they need to make a life are now taking that away after, you know, 150 years or whatever it's been. And when they take the sheep away, and they call it trespassing. They've been running these sheep overgrazing. No, that's not happening. Like the lady said in the letter there, if it was overgrazing, then the correct response from the federal government would be, okay, I want all of the ranchers to be at this seminar this weekend, and we're going to teach you how to move your sheep and properly and allow these places to grow back so that you don't overgraze in certain area. But I'm going to tell you something else. Truth be known, these Indians already know that. They've been doing this for a long damn time. They already know they'll move them from one area to another. And when it gets to a point where they can't support the herd anymore, then they will move them on. And if this was an issue, it would have been an issue 100 years ago. But it's not an issue, just like it's not an issue that the cows and the turtles can't get along together in Nevada. The cows don't give a damn about the turtles and vice versa. It's all a power grab, land grab. And I tell you, I hate like hell to see it. I hate like hell to see what could come as a result of all this going on here. Now, you can't convince me that the federal government doesn't have some idea that there could be some repercussions from this of some kind, that there may be some support come in. Is it strictly a land grab, or is it a test? Is it a trap? Is it just fun and games? Are they just trying to cause us to use up our resources? You know, not being funded by unlimited tax money like they are, we can't cry wolf too many times. We can't just take off and go and spend all of our resources and our radios and batteries and fuel and food and water and vehicles and everything that we need to continue these vigils. And sooner or later, they're going to wear us out. The only way we can keep going, since we don't have tax money, is for those of you that pay taxes, if you can find it in your heart to help us push through this thing and fund us and help us out with cash donations. And that's the only way. Otherwise, they're just going to run over us. We can only go for so long doing this out of our pockets. We did, when we went to Bundy Ranch, we had several people that donated to help us out up there. And it was very enlightening. I had a lady catch me at Safeway. And lady from my church. And I'm just walking by where I mean, we're actually getting some food and getting some stuff ready to go on that trip. We were leaving the next morning, headed to Bundy Ranch. And she stopped and just pulled a $100 bill out of her purse and said, "Here, I wish I could go with you, but I can't, so this is all I can do." We had another guy down here, and I think I already told you this story. We had another guy down here. We were getting up. As a matter of fact, we were pulling out of town. We were driving out. We were loaded up. We stopped at the Maverick gas station down here, and three carloads of us, I think. And we pulled up there, and there was this old man had got his gas and backed out, and he went up there and turned around. He heard us say something. He drove down the road about 100 yards and turned around and come back, And he whooped out $60 out of his pocket and said, you know, boy, I'd sure love to be with you boys, but I can't. So here's some gas money. So there are lots and lots of good people out there, lots and lots of patriots that want to help and want to be there. And when the fight comes to them, I have no doubt that they'll fight. A lot of them are elderly. A lot of them are just flat damn broke. A lot of them have medical problems. But when the fight comes to their back door, I have no question that they'll be right there with us. So anyway, I got things to do, places to go, and people to see. Trying to get a whole bunch of stuff done here. Theshootingbench.us. We've got several things on our online store. It's not very big yet, but we've got the colloidal silver generators and the books and the Glock Armorer's manual and silver and what all else? The Glock dry practice kits and the donation buttons on there. So those are some things that hopefully I'm going to get this website up and running and get a whole lot more information on there pretty soon. Oh, by the way, let me tell you one more thing. We have a combat medic class coming up here on the 27th and 28th of December. It's going to be right here in Vernon, Arizona. And you're going to get it at a ridiculously marvelous price for those of you that want to come. I'm going to put it on the website and I'm going to put a code on there. I will give that code out tomorrow night, and with that code you will get a remarkable price on this two-day class. This two-day class is something that you cannot get in the civilian market out there. It is taught by our own Edge of the Woods, and it is a tremendous class. I've been through it 3 times. I intend to go through it again when it comes out and does this. So it's 2 days after Christmas. You ought to have all your celebrating visiting over. Bring your friends and family and whatever, and pick out some representatives to take this class. You'll be able to afford it because this is going to be a one-time offer. You will probably never see this again. So be sure and check out. I will post the code up here tomorrow night. You go to the website. I'm going to put the class on the website at its normal price. And for those that have the code, you'll be able to get the deal of a lifetime to take this class. So there you have it. I'm getting out of here. And as just most of you know, the Shooting Bench now, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays is just an hour. We're still doing 2 hours on Friday nights. I appreciate the hell out of y'all joining me tonight. And I'm sure that we'll have more new news tomorrow. Good night. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let freedom